Hello, this is Brad Crandall, your host for Monitor 67. 67. First time I've said that this year, so it still sounds a little odd. But one thing that means is that the 21st century is now just 33 years away. And for any secretaries who may be listening, how will life be for the working girl in the year 2000? Well, for one thing, she won't have any wrinkles on her face, no matter how old she gets. We'll hear all about that 3 minutes from now. But first, Dean Martin, the 90-proof troubadour, and let the good times in.
I woke up this morning, toes out of my shoes. Cold north wind was a howling, bringing in the blues. I said, blues, good morning, I don't want to fight. Excuse me while I have a smoke, if I can't find a light. Open up the door and let the good times in. Don't let nothing stand in your way. Just open up the door and let the good times in. Tomorrow's gonna be better than today. That cupboard, found the cupboard bare. What happened to that sip of wine I had hidden there? Over in the corner, a little mouse laid on his side. He was wearing such a grin, I thought the mouse had died. Open up the door and let the good times in. Don't let nothing stand in your way. Just open up the door and let the good times in. Tomorrow's gonna be better than today. I went called my baby when she got to the phone. I kinda had a little feeling baby was not alone. She said, Daddy, I'm busy, call summer time. I don't need that woman, but I sure could use a dime. Open up the door and let it go down in. Don't let nothing stand in your way.
Speaking of tomorrow, how will life be for the working girl in the year 2000? Well, according to an article in the current issue of Gal Friday magazine, the 21st century will bring with it a life expectancy of 90 years for the average woman. But after her teens, she won't have to get any older looking if she doesn't want to. The editor of Gal Friday magazine is Marjorie Palmer, and she's got some pretty startling predictions for you young ladies around the office, including your own personal robot for a servant. Miss Palmer, does this mean that automation may eventually replace the Gal Friday entirely?
Automation can never, this is practically a truism, can never knock out people. And more, as we go along, the emphasis on, in all working situations, is going to be on the people virtues, the getting along with people, helping people, understanding their problems.
Now, you say that, for example, by the year 2000, the average life expectancy will be 90 years, disease-free.
That's conservative.
And no age lines, right?
Well, we see this already. Cosmetic surgery is so prevalent now. You may not know this since you're a man, but surgery like the so-called nose jobs, facelifting. Well, these things years ago were so rarely, this kind of surgery was so rarely performed, and it was terrifically expensive. Well, it's now no longer so expensive. There are many, 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 many fine doctors specializing in cosmetic surgery. It's one of the emerging industries, if you want to call it that. And yes, probably more women than you know have had nose jobs or facelifts or something like that. And why not? I mean,
you
really,
mean eventually
why walk
all girls
around?
Are going to look like Joey Heatherton and all guys are going to look like Rock Hudson?
Probably not, although maybe it's better to look like Joey Heatherton than Marjorie Maine, given the choice.
Yes, I guess that's true enough as far as it goes. Well, about the gal Friday in the year 2000, now she gets up, according to this article, and there's a robot that makes the coffee and brings it to her alongside her bed, and the
These
lights
are all
come
possible.
Up.
I didn't make them up. Some of them are on the drawing boards. Some of them are actually, have actually been produced, and it's merely a matter of determining whether or not there will be a market for them. It's a matter of determining when the public will accept them more than if the public will accept them.
Mm-hmm.
The picture phones are a case in point.
Yeah.
These are already around. You can go into Grand Central Station right now and use one if you want to.
Yes. As you mentioned, they can be turned off so that if you hop out of the tub to answer the phone, you don't find yourself suddenly facing
somebody.
Yes,
so many of these things are mixed blessings, aren't they?
Well, the telephone itself, I have a few doubts about. What about the thing you mentioned in the work, that she works not in an office, but in a kind of a work cubicle?
A workstation, we call it. The workstation is simply incorporates so many of the business machines that are already available in larger models, and which they're now working on bringing into smaller models. The desk copier set, for instance. The phonetic typewriter, which is going to be reality. That, too, is already in use in some places.
I noticed that, and I was just thinking now. The phonetic typewriter, as such, operates with an analyzing computer, which breaks your words down into syllables.
Yes.
And spells those syllables correctly.
Yes.
Doesn't this mean, then, that in preparation for being a gal Friday in the year 2000... one of the things that a young lady will have to study is diction?
Yes, quite true. Yes, the these, dem, and does, gum chewing stereotype of the working girl is just going to go out of existence because this, for the simple fact that this girl will not be able to get a job, she's going to have to improve, and I think she probably will. Yes, she will have to pronounce her words quite clearly for the computer. Of course, these computers are so darn smart. One wonders even if they couldn't correct diction.
Oh, I know, but I have this beautiful mental image, the fortunate executive of the year 2000, with a girl Friday working in the workstation near his, who looks like Joey Heatherton and talks like Helen Hayes.
Isn't it marvelous?
You know, I mean, it's got to be quite a thing.
Wouldn't that just be marvelous? Now we'll have to see what the executives look like.
Yeah, well, there's a problem. You know, they'll probably look just the same because they're the power structure and they don't care. Thank you very much, Miss Palmer, for talking with us on Monitor.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it.
To paraphrase the old song title, Heaven will protect a working girl with an assist from plastic surgery. A prediction from Marjorie Palmer, editor of Gal Friday magazine. Now more Monitor music. Here's Hugo Montenegro and Jeannie.
Jeannie, fresh as the daisies, just love how she obeys me, does things that just amaze me so. Presto, the rainbow, she blinks up from the rainbow's car stop. Even the train goes slow. When she goes by, she brings sunshine on every rafter, sprinkles the air with laughter. We're close as a quarter after three. There's no one like Judy. I'll introduce her to you. But it's no use, sir, cause my Jeannie's in love with me. She brings sunshine on every one like you. I'll introduce her to you, but it's no use, sir. My lady is in love with me. She's in love with me.
Your tune's a monitor. Now, monitor on stage. Star performances recorded live in leading nightclubs, theaters, and concert halls from coast to coast. Bowing to the customers now is Miss Connie Francis.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. And the glory that was Rome is over. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in old Manhattan. So I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my in San Francisco, up high on a hill, and it calls to me to be above that blue and windy sea, when I come home to you, oh, San Francisco, your golden sunshine.
On stage, featuring Connie Francis. Next, a look at the world of theater. Soupy Sales, as we all know, is the man who's made a career being hit in the face with pies. But now he's coming to the legitimate stage in a play called Come Live With Me. Monitor's man on the aisle, Leonard Probst, asked Soupy about the play and about his name.
Soupy Sales can't be your real name.
Well, it's been... I've been asked that question a lot of times. Well, it is my legal name. I had it changed legally quite a few years ago because I had the same name as a famous movie star. And when I got in his business, they said they thought I ought to change it and not infringe on it.
What was that name?
Annette Funicello.
Well, Soupy Sales is changing again, coming to Broadway.
Yeah, I really am very excited about this, Leonard, because after doing thousands and thousands of TV shows and radio and doing, you know, concerts and stage appearances, this is the first time I've done a stage, you know, play since I did, with the exception of when I did Peter Rabbit in the second grade. Didn't have a too good of a book, but the scenery was nice. I find it so fulfilling because it's something happens all the time.
Well, tell us, Soupy, what is Come Live With Me?
It concerns an au pair, which is a foreign girl
that comes to work in someone's home.
They're from fine families. They come to a person's home, like, to live there, to learn the ways of the country and the language, and they sleep and they eat there and mind the children. No heavy work. So I played a part of a screenwriter working in London on a movie who is divorced and whose house is a complete mess. It's just a shambles. And I'm told about an au pair. Now, I'm told that bachelors can't hire them, so I put on this pretense that I'm still married, and I dig up a picture of my ex-wife, and I put it up, and I get this au pair there.
From France?
No, she comes from Denmark. And she comes there, and she thinks that I'm married, and the wife is on a trip. Well, it's the involvement, what happens, and then my ex-wife comes back, and it's a whole series of incidents that it's just a very funny type of a situation. No message. You know, it's just a nice evening of comedy. You want a message, you go to Western Union.
Well, talking about a nice evening of comedy, the people who supported and been in love with Soupy Sales, the teenagers, the kids, won't they feel you've either grown up or turned your back on them? Is Soupy Sales going legitimate?
No, I think it's another facet. I love to do different things. Like, I'd like to do a musical, you know, the next time.
Do you sing?
Well, so you know how to hurt a guy, Leonard. I've recorded 4 albums, and my record of The Mouse sold 1 million. I mean, I've got a new record out now from Walkin' Happy, but other than that, I might just cry when you leave. Yes, I do. You know, I think I do.
I know you do. What do you do between now and opening night?
Well, I pray a lot, and I study a lot.
What do you think opening night will be like?
Well, people said, well, you know who's going to be there, all the critics. And I said, well, I said, they're not going to come up on the stage and kill you. I mean, they can do that talking on TV or radio or in the newspaper. But the only thing you can ever do is just go out and do the best you can. And you just hope for the best. There's nothing you can do. They're going to be there. You can't keep them out.
What do you think of the position of the critics in the theater? You haven't had to contend with that up to now.
I think you do need critics. You need critics just like you need performers. You need writers, you need directors. I think they're necessary.
What would happen if we didn't have any critics?
Well,
life would go along?
Well, you see, that's the thing. Everybody would like to have it easy and say, hey, I'd like to be driving a big car and I'd like to have a big home and this. But you have to fight for it. And so maybe if the play isn't good or you're not good, then the next time you learn, it's a gauge. And that's why you're in this business, to try and do good and the best you can.
Thank you very much, Soupy Sales, who's coming into the theater for the first time in Come Live With Me on Broadway. This is Leonard Probst, NBC News, and that's it from Broadway.
Soupy Sales, about to take the long jump from TV to the Broadway stage. And now, to support Soupy's contention that he is a singer, let's hear him singing his new novelty, The Spanish Flea.
There was a little Spanish flea, a record star he thought he'd be. He'd heard of singers like Beatles or Chipmunks he'd seen on TV. Why not a little Spanish flea? And so he hid inside a doggy from Madrid, arriving here with the city still singing his sweet harmony. As brave as any flea could be. He walked around as if he owned the town, humming his pint-sized melody. With his guitar, he knew he'd be a star, and in his old hometown, how proud they'd be. Then all at once he met a man who said, I'll help you if I can. He listened first to his song, then he sang right along, for you see, he loved the little Spanish flea. You'll be the rage, I'll put you on the stage in costumes like you've never worn. Well, at a glance, he knew this was his chance, and all at once the Spanish star was born. For when the people heard him play, they all began to shout, Ole! He was the pride of the nation, a singing sensation was he, though he was just a Spanish flea, a little Spanish flea, a groovy Spanish flea.
Now, this message from your National Safety Council for you young drivers. Now, the open road is yours to share. On your way to that holiday party or the game or to school, You'll be driving a car, cycle, motorbike. And if you alone get into trouble with the cops, it only affects you. Your insurance, your license. But if you involve your girl or your buddy in a collision, that's something else. The National Safety Council wants you to be a leader in your crowd and stay straight. Others will follow, and who knows, the cops may even smile back. Nelson Riddle and the title song from that new Broadway play, Don't Drink the Water. You're drinking in Monitor, and I'm Brad Crandall, reminding you that NBC News on the Hour is upcoming shortly. Then we'll be back with more of Monitor.